Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
John Guandolo is the president and founder of Understanding the Threat. We've been talking about the kind of work it is doing. You can check it out at understandingthethreat.com. And John, I just did want to ask you, in addition to the kind of positive feedback that you've gotten from the recipients of your information in these training sessions for federal, state, and local law enforcement, you have gotten a positive review of a very different kind, I guess you might say, from the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Talk about the lengths to which it has gone to stop you from providing this training to those in the pointy end of the spear, as you say, of the counterinsurgency.
Well, it's really interesting, and I'll relate it through a story. I'm actually in the middle of conducting, we do a lengthy week-long train-the-trainer program, which we're conducting right now, and I have a sheriff who is here. We have a former police chief here. We've got a member of the media, and we've got citizens that are already engaged in this, and a police officer, and it's really fantastic. The stories that they've all shared. When I went to, for the first time, kind of taking this whole program, doing a one-day program in Arizona in September 2014, you had 75 Marxist and jihadi organizations from around the United States write a letter to President Obama's CT advisor, Lisa Monaco, telling her that she needed to shut down me and my organization and our training. This was 6 weeks before this training in Arizona. And then leading up to it, you had the ACLU screaming that this needed to be shut down. And you had the Council on American Islamic Relations, on national, local media, saying this had to be shut down. It's terrible. Here's the interesting thing. At the end of the one-day training, where 300 police officers came from all over the state of Arizona, at the end, 100% of them said, we've never heard the information, including three dozen JTTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force people. And you had all of them say, this is critical to protecting the community. In Virginia, when we did a similar thing, we did the three-day program, you had a sheriff who literally was not only visited by Ibrahim Hooper and Corey Saylor of the national leaders of Hamas in the United States doing business as care, who tried to shut it down with local Islamic leaders. The local Islamic leaders with care in the room offered to pay $15,000 if he would just shut the training program down. Now, these leaders from the Islamic community in rural Virginia don't even have a mosque. There's about 20 of them, and they meet in a home. So we know they don't have the money. We know the obvious investigative connection would be Hamas doing business as care. Likely we're going to be the ones to fund this. That's how much they want to shut this down.
These are classic influence operations, aren't they? John, let me ask you, of course, this evening the president is speaking to the Congress about the State of the Union. He ran for president, and I personally think it had a lot to do with him getting elected as president on a platform calling for clarity about the nature of the enemy we're facing. He specifically used the term radical Islamic terrorism, but he has, in the years since, been clearly discouraged from using that term or really even talking about the ideological character of what causes the threat of terrorism. It will be very interesting to see whether in his speech tonight he uses the terms that got him to office or the thin gruel, shall we say, that H.R. McMaster and others have been encouraging on him since he came to office. I wanted you to just talk us through that, especially in light of the curious thing that in the national security strategy, which H.R. McMaster presided over its preparation, that is, some of that original character of the Trump thinking and policies seems to have crept back in. Are we seeing a change in this regard, do you think? Are we witnessing, from what you're observing and interacting with these law enforcement officers and what you're doing as you monitor what's going on in the Department of Homeland Security and elsewhere, a course correction of the kind that the president promised and that seems, especially on basis of what you've told us today, so clearly needed?
There have been some positive movements, but overall, not much of a course correction. You know, February after the president was elected, we have senior Muslim Brotherhood officials in an Egyptian newspaper describing the efforts they made to influence members of Congress with the help of Mrs. Clinton and people close to her to fund a propaganda campaign in the United States to keep the president from designating the Muslim Brotherhood. We have the spokesman for the International Muslim Brotherhood who's in jail, who we know worked for 5.5 years on the Clinton Foundation, and it overlapped the time he was actually working as a spokesman for the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate, Morsi, who became the Muslim Brotherhood candidate and president of Egypt. So all of that is in play. So there are other forces going on that I'm very clear this administration is not attuned to. Here are a couple victories that are small but still noteworthy. I mean, the State Department, the White House didn't host iftar dinners, which is run by the Muslim Brotherhood. When General Kelly was at DHS, he cut off a grant to the Muslim Brotherhood's Muslim Public Affairs Council for over $500,000. That's taxpayer money going to our enemy. So those are good things. However, we still have not substantially hit the enemy. And I want to make sure your listeners understand, when the plaintiff, who's the imam of the Islamic Association of Hawaii, came against the president and his executive order to stop immigration from hostile countries, the Islamic Association of Hawaii is a Muslim Brotherhood front. The imam is a Muslim brother. That's the Muslim Brotherhood directly confronting the president of the United States. And instead of the next day that place getting indicted and hammered, nothing.
Let me just ask you in closing, John, to just make your best case that this is a practice we can't tolerate any longer, that things have reached a pass that what you've described as a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy of that, is of now such a mortal peril to this country that it must be dealt with very differently and with a clear-eyed understanding of the nature of the threat.
As I said in the beginning, this is a war of narratives. They want to control the message. Currently, they do control the message, both the Marxists and the Islamic movements. The answer to that is speaking boldly, truth, boldly, using very clear language. So, for instance, instead of saying fake news, we need to call it what it is. What the news media corporations and their reporters are doing is a hostile propaganda information campaign as a part of a larger movement, the Marxist movement, assisting the jihadi movement. And so these people doing this should be investigated for that. And the enemy is so far down the road in this, they believe they're in their final phase. We need to address them at every level, local, state, national, in the financial realm, the economic warfare realm, the legal realm, the military realm, counter the subversion in the counterintelligence realm. We just had one of the biggest penetrations in Congress with the Iran case, and it is as if nothing happened. We lost the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and our military is treating it like no big deal. I mean, these are clear evidences that what we're saying and of the threat and how it's manifesting are real and present, and there's much more going on.
Check it out, folks, at understandingthethreat.com. John Guandolo, your work is tremendously appreciated, as has been your previous service to our country. I know you will keep it up, and I hope you will come back to us often in 2018. Thank you for your extended time today. God bless you, my friend. Carry on. I hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.